Are we ready?
But
whoops.
Want to wait till actually,
No, I'm just saying, so that you leave
that.
We're starting.
I took the battery out. I took the battery out, and then I could turn it off, and but then nothing. I could be froze up.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, 7 o'clock already. I am after. Well, as usual, I have good news. And the good news tonight is, we came to this plane of action with the power of choice. We can choose. Now, what does that mean exactly? Yes, we know that we can choose in a restaurant, we can choose here, we can choose there. But the whole idea of being able to choose, you are able to choose every thought that comes into your head. Thoughts just don't randomly come through your head. And you can choose the thoughts that you wish to think. And that's the wonderful power that we have. And that's the thing that makes us different from the other species that are on this planet. Animals do not have choice. They live by instinct. We have choice, and we can choose the thoughts that we wish to think. Now, what does that boil down to? If you're thinking bad thoughts about yourself, you can decide to choose out of them, and you can start to choose thoughts that say nice things about you, so that this mind will obey your choices. It has to. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. So we sit around sometimes and we allow our minds to take us down the tubes, to tell us all kinds of bad things. But we can choose out of that. And we can say, no, I want to think this. I want to think good thoughts about the world, about the universe. I want to think good thoughts about myself. I want to always know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. These are choices that we have the power to make. And it doesn't matter what came before that. It does not matter what background you came from. It doesn't matter what family you came from. And it certainly doesn't matter what programs you have already picked up that are running in your head, that you learned at home, that you learned from an authority. You can now say, I choose for myself. I am the one who thinks the thoughts that I want to think. And it makes your life so much better when you realize that. So when you're going through your regular day, think of that. Am I choosing this thought? Is this the thought I want to think? If you don't do that, then random thoughts just keep coming and coming. And you think, oh, well, that's all right. That's the way my mind works. It's the way everybody's mind works. But the people who are successful in life have learned to choose what to think. They have learned to choose what to think. And they have certainly learned to choose good things to say about themselves so that they know that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. And they implant those thoughts into their mind, into their whole being. And that's what we can do, each and every one of us. But so many people think they don't have a choice, that that's, oh, my mind just works that way. That's the way my family has always thought. That's the way this happens. That's the way that happened. No, it isn't. It isn't. You see, most people are just thinking automatically, and they're just repeating what other people have said. Very few people have ever had an original thought in their life. They have just regurgitated information from somebody else. And you can tell when you have an original thought, it'll strike you. I only have ever had one original thought in my life. And I knew when it was an original thought. The rest of the stuff that we talk about and all, we glean from other people. We glean from other sources. Yes, we put it together the way we wish to put it together. But we must learn to think original thoughts and think outside of what society is telling us, what the world is telling us, what any television is telling us, that this is the way life is. And we watch all those sitcoms and we watch all those soap operas and we watch all the dramas and so forth. And we all know human nature, we say, where it's going to go. We know when we start watching something where it's going to go. And we say, well, that's it. And then we go out and imitate that and do the same thing because we say that's the way life is. But you see, that isn't the way life is. You can choose to live your life any way you wish to live your life. And you can choose to make yourself anything that you want to make yourself. You can be anything that you want to be. But you have to choose your thoughts. You always are thinking your own thought. Do I want to think this? Or have I picked this up from somebody else? And then you change that thought. You see, when we reach an age that we are all at, now we have to say, I have to become my own person. Yes, I had parents. I had people. I had teachers. I had this. But now it's time to say, how do I think about this? How do I feel about this? So that you can live your own life. Otherwise, you're just repeating somebody else's life and somebody else's situation. And we say, oh, that's just the way it is. It's not the way it is. It is not the way it is. Just because all those people are doing the same thing, and we know when they start one of those things, we know exactly where it's going to end. We don't have to start thinking that, you see. If you start your thinking differently, your whole life will be different. What do you think about relationships, you see? You can think anything you want about relationships. You don't have to imitate other people's relationships. All relationships should be an individualized thing. All relationships have their same dynamics. But we think, oh, all relationships are the same. All women, if they do this, they do that. Aren't there all kinds of books out telling you what a man's thinking or telling you what a woman's thinking and this is the way it goes and that's the way it goes? That's their idea. It doesn't have to be your idea. You can make your own ideas. You can make your own world and your own reality. You've often heard me say to people, thank God I don't live in your universe. When people are crazy, when they're doing all kinds of things and telling me that the economy is bad and this is happening and everyone is getting this done and that done, it's not my universe. I don't live there. I choose to think differently. You see, I choose always to think that people are wonderful, you see. And I hear everyone say, well, you know how people are, meaning that they're bad, that they've done something. Learn to change your mind about that. If you know that all people are good, guess what will happen? Only good people will be in your life. Only good people will come into your life. Because you're creating that. You're the one that's creating it. So we learn to choose our thoughts. And we learn to see how we can change our life by doing that. And it works every time across the board. But always start with your own thinking. Always let your mind tell you something good about yourself. Never allow your mind to put you down in any way. Never allow your mind to say that can't be done. Because in the mind of God, there is no limitation whatsoever. Therefore, there is no limitation in your mind. And there's certainly no limitation in thinking. You are allowed to think anything you want to think. And you know that. You have no problem when I say that, that you're allowed to think anything you want to think. So why not choose to think good things about yourself? Why not learn to do that for yourself and always see yourself as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? And don't let anyone move you from that platform. Don't let them. Remember Eleanor Roosevelt? She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Don't give your consent to the world, to other people, to authority figures. Keep your own thinking going. Keep your own thinking going. And keep that lovable, worthy, deserving, and that you matter. Keep those as the first thing that pops up in your mind. The first thing that pops up in your mind. So when you're faced with a situation, your mind immediately says, ha, you can solve this because you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. Instead of your mind saying, oh, well, you can't do that because of da, 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 da. No, we have to train our minds to think the thoughts that we want to think. And that's the marvelous gift that we have. This whole idea of being able to choose and to being able to choose our thoughts. It's a wonderful thing. If we didn't have that, we would be stuck with the person that we think we are. Instead of being able to choose out and be able to create your own person. You see, we're always creating ourselves. With every thought that we think, we're creating ourselves. So why not create what we want to create? Why not see ourselves always as magnificent, as wonderful? We can do that. And your mind will accept that. But we just have allowed all this other stuff to come in all the time, and we started to believe it. And none of that is true. None of it is true. You see, this thing that we call God always holds us in the highest of esteem. And we must learn to hold ourselves in that esteem and see ourselves as the wonderful human beings that we are. And always go back to worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And with that, let's do the matter dance. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yes. Yes, that's very, very important to know those things. I had a client today who just returned from the form, which, if people don't know what that is, that's the new word for est. And he said he learned a great deal, but he said, you know, I knew most of this stuff, and he's been to these classes, by the way, and he said, you teach this and that and the other thing. But he was a little bit confused, and that's why he came, because he said, there's something missing, Dallas. Why? He said, I have this. I know that I can be rich. I know that I can do this, this, and this. And I went to this seminar, and they told me all these things. Now, why can't I do it? Why can't I do this? And I said, well, I know exactly why you can't do it. Because you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And he said, oh, because he never thinks he matters by the way he talks. And you have to know those things. You can take one seminar, read every self-help book, do whatever you want. But if you don't know those four items, it's not going to get you very far. Because you see, if you start with the premise that you're not worthy, how could you read a book and think that it's going to change that. You can't. Remember, in all those things, S and all of them, always assume that you know those four items. See, they immediately just assume that you know those. So they start at a different level. And if you don't know those four items, nothing is going to make sense to you. Nothing is going to make sense to you. You can go to Est as many times as you want, and it's not going to make any sense to you. And then you'll see other people, you'll say, well, they took it and look what they're doing. Yes, because they knew that they were worthy, deserving, totally level one, they mattered. That was the problem with Think and Grow Rich was written in, I think, the 1930s. And a wonderful book. And if you read it, you should become rich. Very few people become rich by reading that book, because Napoleon Hill interviewed millionaires at the time, Ford and Carnegie, Rockefeller. And he said, how did you do this? And they told him. But they never told him. First, I had to know that I was worthy, deserving, totally level one, I mattered. You see? If you already have money and you're already wealthy and you already know how to do that, you assume that everyone knows the other steps to it. So you start at a level, you see. And that book is wonderful. But if you don't change your belief system about yourself, which it never mentions, you see, they already believed that they were wealthy individuals, that they could do this. But if you don't change your belief system and you read that whole book and your belief system still says, I'm always poor, I'm always in lack and limitation, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Remember, it's always done unto you as you believe. And here again, you see, you have a choice. You can believe anything you want to believe, or not how to. Isn't that great? So you can believe anything that you want to believe. You do not have to believe what scientists tell you. You do not have to believe what doctors tell you. You don't have to believe what any authority tells you. You have to believe what you want to believe. And you have to make that a belief system. And all were familiar with the CD that passed around, The Secret, which is nothing but the law of cause and effect. It's nothing but the law of cause and effect. But the law of cause and effect works on belief systems. It doesn't say that's not a good belief system. It doesn't say, oh, you're a doctor, so that's a better belief system. That's the one we'll put into work. It works on any belief system that you give it. It works on any belief system that you give it. You do not have to back it up with scientific facts. You have to back it up with spiritual faith. Any belief will manifest itself. That's why it says, it is done unto you as you believe, not as the doctor believes, not as the authority believes, but as you believe. So you have that choice always. You can believe what you want to believe. But most people take no time to sit down and say, do I believe this? Or was this belief handed to me by somebody else and I just picked it up and ran with it? You see. And when you sit down and you think, I don't want this belief. I don't want this belief. Here's what I want. Then start believing that. And it will work for you in your world. It may not work for me because it's not my belief. But it's your belief, you see. Beliefs always work. If you believe you're going to make it, you'll make it. If you believe you're not going to make it, you won't make it. If you believe in sickness and limitation and all that, then that's your belief and you're in that. And you're going to manifest those things. But if you believe that God is always the source for everything in your life, and you maintain that belief, then you don't have to worry what the outside world is doing. You don't have to worry about the economy. You don't have to worry about whatever they're worried about out there. You just know that God is always the source of my well-being, that God is always the source of my good, and you go to that. This young man this afternoon said, well, after the form, then I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he said, I understood that completely, and I realized this, that, and the other thing. But if he doesn't change his belief about himself, Rich Dad, Poor Dad is not going to help him. It's not going to make sense to him. You have to be able to change your belief. And we are able to do the people that we have. But all your life is going to boil down to, what do I believe? I believe I always get a parking space. I believe that there's always a place for me in the universe. I believe that money is always freely circulating in my life and that I always have a divine surplus. I believe that the health of God is running through me right here and right now, stimulating every cell in my body so that I produce nothing but wellness in my life. These are belief systems. Call them mantras, call them anything you want. But do it enough till you actually believe that, till it becomes your belief system, you see. And it will work for you. You see, I have many beliefs that I know work for me. I'll tell you some of them. A cord will always get tangled. And I have to change that all the time. As soon as I get something out, I say, that cord will get tangled. And sure enough, it gets tangled. Okay? That's a belief system. I can change that belief system. Everything you do. Yeah. Everything you do is a belief system, you see. So, I believe that all people are good. I believe that good is always coming to me. That's a belief system, you see. I believe that I can overcome anything in my life. I believe that life is a wonderful opportunity. You see, we have to choose those type of beliefs, that type of thinking. And that's the freedom that we have on this plane of action. Otherwise, we could be stuck all the time in somebody else's belief system. And many of us get caught in other people's belief systems. We certainly get caught in race mind's belief systems because it's so prevalent and there's so much of it. So we have to look and say, oh, do I want to believe that? Do I want to believe that? And if you don't believe it. If you want to believe it, believe it. I have a belief system, I never get a headache. And I have never taken an aspirin in my life. So therefore, I've never gotten a headache. But I grew up in a family where we didn't have headaches. My mother never got a headache. She took every other drug in the world, but not an aspirin. She never had a headache. So I grew up in that belief system, so I don't get headaches, and I don't take aspirin. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
It's a belief system.
I have a question.
Yes.
If you have, actually, you get headaches, you always, get headaches as your kid. If you just keep repeating and affirming and believe, you never get headaches.
Yes.
Eventually it has to.
It has to go away, yes. But to start with that, if you're starting to get a headache, you close your eyes and you see yourself as a smaller child outside playing and the sun is beating down on you. And if you feel the warmth of the sun coming down through your head, the headache will disappear. And then you start from there, I never get headaches. I never get headaches. And then you prove it to yourself. Each time it starts, you take it away. Each time it starts, you take it away. And then you don't get headaches. And you don't take aspirin. But we fall into that. Why do we fall into that? Because it's out there. Little race mind thing that I saw. Going to the airport, picking up my brother and sister-in-law. I was on the elevator and there were some teenage girls on there with their mother. and they were off to some kind of a camp or something. And the mother says, now, do you have your Advil with you? And the one said, oh, yes, I have two bottles. Well, if you don't, I brought extra, the mother says. So you'll have, remember, these are teenage girls, and they're already worried if they had their Advil with them. Now, I'm looking at them. They're in perfect health. They're teenagers. How could they be taking Advil? Because they get headaches, because somebody told them. Their mother probably has headaches. And she had more with her in case they didn't have. She said, well, I have more here in my bag if you need more. I thought, why don't you take the whole bottle? But this is the way belief systems start. I mean, and they're training these young kids at 16 or whatever they were. I don't even think they were 16. They were tall. We're training young children to take pills. The world is training young kids to take pills.
Flintstones vitamins.
Anything like that. Flintstones vitamins, any of those things. We train them. And they watch television all day, and there's a pill out for everything. There is a pill out for everything, and then there's a pill to take after you take that pill. You know, I mean, it goes on forever. That's a belief system. So, you have a choice, you see. You can believe it, or you don't have to believe it. And if you are suffering from those things, definitely I'm not telling you not to take an aspirin. I am telling you that there is no necessity for it, you see. I never deny that somebody's in pain. I never deny that somebody is sick. What I deny is in the necessity for it. You see, there's no necessity for it. You can choose out of it. You can think of other things. But it's always easier to take a pill than to choose out of it.
The word focus.
Yes. What about it?
Well, you focus. That's what you're getting.
Oh, whatever you focus on. Absolutely. Whatever you...
Yeah.
And how many people have had a headache and tried not to not think about the headache, and they focus on it even more, and the headache gets worse? Because that always happens. Whatever you focus on, you get more of. Whatever you focus on, you get more of. Grand idea there, isn't it? Focus on prosperity, abundance, and money, and you'll get more of it. You know, people don't focus on it. They think it'll either come or it won't come, or they're afraid even to think about money. Money frightens them and so forth, and they think, well, if I don't think about it, it'll be all right. I'll just push that aside. Learn to think about money. Learn to see money as your friend. Learn always to see money as freedom. Money is freedom. It will do things for you that other things cannot do. So focus on it. Always focus on money. You know, we're taught not to do that because we were taught that money's the root of all evil, and nice people don't really talk about money. I want to tell you that nice people do talk about money, and the people that I'm around who have tons of money really talk about money. They know how to invest that money. They know what's going here. They know the interest rates on something. They're interested in money, and they focus on money, and they get more of it. But we think, oh, well, we're not quite up to it. We don't make enough, you see. Years ago, when I worked for my uncle, he made this statement, and it stuck with me for years. At that time, I think I was making like $40 or $50 a week. And I said to him, well, it was supposed to be a lot of money, but this was back in 1960, and I was traveling with that. But anyway, he said, and I said to him, you know, I am not making enough money to save money. And he said, oh, that's right, you're not making enough to save. And that's what so many people think. They're not making enough money to save. You always have to say that I'm making enough money to save money. And then start to save it. Only if it's a dollar a week. At the end of a year, you'll have $52. $52. Then you'll have $100 in 2 years. And then you may decide to do more, and you'll put it in the bank at a little good little interest. And you know, in no time flat, it's going to make a lot of money for you. I had a friend, Betty, you know, heard me talk about Betty. She put $950 in Farmers Mutual and left it there for 30 years. And finally they wrote and they said, we're selling the company. Perhaps you should take your money out because we don't know what the next company will do for it. She took the money out with $86,000. $950 made her $86,000. That's thinking about money. That's realizing that money makes money. Save a dollar. Put a dollar away. Use your little red envelopes. Do what? Why do we have to save? To train our mind that it can be done. And when you see that and you say, ah, look, I saved that money. It makes you feel very, very good. Plus, it's making money then for you. It'll make money for you. But you have to train yourself. I wasn't trained to save money. My family didn't save money. We didn't have, you know, a budget or anything like that. He didn't give us money at the beginning of the month and say, this must do. We just went and got money and did things with it. But there was never any, no one ever said, did you save anything? No one ever said, did you save anything? I had to learn to save money. I had to learn to save money. And that's what we have to do. But that's another belief system, you see. If you think you don't make enough money to save, there's something wrong. Always know that you make enough money to save money. And then save it. Only if it's a dollar. It doesn't matter how much you save, but you have to save something. That is the way you build a prosperity consciousness. You can't say, I'm prosperous, if you don't have a savings account. And so get it or put it in your bureau drawer. But learn to save money. Once you learn to save money, you'll see how fast it accumulates. And you really don't have to make that much. It just seems to accumulate. And you go, where'd that come from? I don't know, but there it is. So train yourself to do that. That's another choice. And that's another belief system that you can use.
See? And that helps reinforce your affirmation that I always have a divine abundance.
Well, yes. You see, you cannot, I've just said this before, you cannot sit down and say, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus, and then not save something. You're the one that's responsible for the divine surplus. You're the one that's responsible. When it says treat and move your feet, when you do an affirmation, you have to move your feet. You have to become your affirmation. You have to become that affirmation. Well, I started an affirmation 20-some years ago, and it was, I am a reader. At that point in my life, I was reading maybe one book a year. And I said, this is ridiculous. So I made the affirmation, I am a reader. Now that I sit there and then do nothing, never go to a bookstore, never buy a book or anything and expect that affirmation to work? No. I made the affirmation, I bought a book, I kept doing, I'm a reader. Now I have bookcases full of books that I've read. But you have to do something. You always have to become your affirmation. The same way, remember mine. All my bills are paid on or before time. Tonight, before I picked up Broda, I went to the mailbox. There's an AT&T bill in there for my internet for $19.95. I immediately went to my desk and wrote that check out, put it in its envelope, stamped it, and it's in the mailbox for tomorrow morning already. Because I have to live up to my affirmation. All my bills are paid on or before time, you see. But people think they can just do the affirmation and something's going to work for them, you see. And it's not going to. You have to do something about it, you see. What would some of the other affirmations be that people don't do? I want to meet friends. I want tons of friends. Well, have you left the house? No, I can't make myself go out. Well, then you can do that one until the cows come home. Once you make the affirmation, then you must do something. You must advance in that direction. Does that make sense to you? So when you do an affirmation, not only it has to be your affirmation so that it runs through your body and does something, you see. When I say all my bills are paid on or before time, if you want that, you can use that if it resonates in you. If it doesn't, then change it around till it makes sense to your mind. But then do something about it after you say it, you see. And then you'll see how fast all that stuff works. And then that just becomes a wonderful thing. I just love to pay bills. I just love to pay bills. It feels wonderful to pay a bill. Why? Because I know that money is God in action. When I pay that bill, that $19.95, it goes out and it's used by other people to feed their families, to clothe their children, to do something. That's God in action, you see. So I never look at money. That's an energy. It's always God in action. And when you look at it that way, it's going to come back to you, you see. It's the other thing. I never spend money without knowing that it's going to come back to me. I never spend money. Every time I give something away, I know it's going to come back to me. Not the exact thing, but something else is going to come back to me. And that's what you have to get in your head. When my brother and sister-in-law were here, I bought them little things. Every day I bought them something. A $3 item here, a $5 item there. They said, oh, you can't keep doing this, Dallas. You can't. Oh, I said, you have to learn to receive at the same time. Now, I knew all that would come back. I knew all that would come back to me. So, since they have left, I've been invited to the theater. I was invited to Pino's downtown for lunch. That bill I know came to $118 without the tip. I was invited to the Ivy for lunch. That bill must have come to I don't know what, because there a hamburger was $22.75, and we had lobster. Then I was invited on Sunday to the ballet. Orchestra seats. And something else I got. Can't remember. See, I get so many things sometimes. But that all came back to me. I knew it would come back to me. Not in that form that I gave it out. But you have to know it's coming back. That things are coming back to you. And they come back. Isn't that wonderful? So those are belief systems. But we're taught sometimes, oh, don't give that away. You know, we're taught to hold on to things, to hold on to things. The more you're able to let go of things, the more things will come to you. And that means letting go of outworn belief systems. That means letting go of that mind that wants to do you in all the time, you see. And replacing it with what you want to replace it. Let those things come to you. Let those things come to you. You see, our mind is like a vessel. And if it's too full with all this nonsense and so forth, nothing is going to get in there. So you have to let things out in order for something new to come in, you see. And when you do that, things change for you. Your whole life changes. And you start to not only like life, other people, my goodness, you start to like yourself. And that's what this is all about, people. It's learning to like yourself. It's learning to love yourself. It's learning to have a romance with yourself. Not in that conceited way, but in that wonderful way that you appreciate yourself and you hold yourself in high esteem. That's what it's about. That's what life's about. Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. My mind is one with the mind of God. And I know perfectly well that I have choice. And I can learn to think God thoughts after it. So right here and right now I do that. I see myself as always surrounded with prosperity and abundance. I see myself surrounded with money. I see myself surrounded with luxury. I see myself surrounded with beautiful things. I live an absolute wonderful life. Everything that I need, everything that I want is mine, and it is here before I even ask for it. And I let that be so, and so it is. You have to realize that this thing that we call God, or this thing that we call the universe, and when I say God and the universe, they're one and the same thing, because there is only God. But what you have to realize is that this universe wants us to have everything. It really, really wants us to have everything. Do you remember, that just reminded me of, who was the flying nun? Sally Fields. Remember when she won the Oscar? She said, oh, you love me. You really, really love me. That's what you have to know about this thing, the universe, or this thing, God. My goodness, you love me. You really love me. You're ready to give me everything. You're ready to give me everything. And that's what God is. God is there to give you everything. So give yourself permission to have it. Give yourself permission to have it. The exact advice that I gave the young man this afternoon. I said, you know all these things. You want all these things. Now give yourself permission to have it. He went, oh, I never thought of that. I said, you have to give yourself permission. So give yourself permission to have the life that you want. Give yourself permission to have your book published, your stand-up comedian, your movies, your television. Give yourself that permission. Makes all the difference in the world. See, we have been taught since day one to wait for somebody to give us permission to do something. You see, we don't even walk across the street till we get permission from a light that's across the street that flashes something. Then we say, oh, now I have permission to go across there. We're always waiting to get permission from somebody else. Give yourself permission. So every day say, I'm giving myself permission to have a wonderful life. I'm giving myself permission to have a rich life, a luxurious life, a wonderful experience here on this plane of action. And you will have that. And you will have that. But we're not taught that. We're waiting. We're waiting. And how many people here are waiting to become better? Stop waiting to become better. You're not going to become better. You're already the best. You're already the best. You can't become better than you are. You can learn new things. But you're already the best. And you don't have to prove that to anybody but yourself. You have to give yourself permission to know that you're the best. And that you're always doing your very best. And it changes your whole attitude and your whole outlook on life. And it will bring things to you that you want. This thing that we call the law of cause and effect, or the secret, whatever they want to call it, is always in operation. And it's always listening and hearing and feeling everything that we do. So learn to have the right feelings, the right thoughts for what you want. And it will match those it will also match the bad feelings because it doesn't know the difference. It cannot make that critical choice, you see. Can't do it. Only we do that. The same way we hold in our mind, this finite mind, we have big and small. This is easy and that is difficult. It's easy to make $10. It's hard to make $100. It's easy to make $100. It's hard to make $1 million. That does not exist in the mind of God. That is not the way the universe works. The universe doesn't know the difference between $1 and $1 million. Only your mind is doing that to you. Your mind is saying, oh, that's easy to do. This is hard to do. That shows limitation. That shows separation. So you always have to look at it and say, that's easy. I can do that. When I was riding horses, my instructor used to say, now this is difficult. I finally said to her, would you stop saying that? I said, you can't start out. And I was in a class with other people. I said, you cannot start out by telling people that this is going to be difficult. You say, no. How many people do you know that say that? You know, this is going to be hard to take, but, you know, this is going to be difficult. Well, you set yourself up for that. If you say this is going to be easy, and you're going to understand this immediately. The same with metaphysics. When you use the word metaphysics, people want to get esoteric with it. And they want to think it's something absolutely lofty. It is not lofty. It's the simplest, easiest thing in the world. People want to make it hard. They want to make it hard. So that's a belief system. So what do? You say it's easy to make money. It's easy to understand metaphysics. It's certainly easy to understand the universe, and it's easy to understand God. I understand all those things because it's easy. It's simple. Instead of, oh, this is complex, and this is this, and that's this, and that. There's no complexity in the mind of God. There's no complexity. We do that with our little finite mind because we have what's called an ego. And the ego loves to think, oh, that's too simple for me to do. I have to do something difficult, you know. And then we think we've solved something if it's difficult. I do word things every morning that a friend of mine sends me. I guess they're called Scrabble. And your mind has to figure out what the word is, you know, with the different letters. And I do this as an exercise because of being dyslexic. And if I start out with the premise and look at the word and say, well, this is too hard, and she sent me the wrong one, and this is going to be difficult, and I never saw this word in my life, and yada, 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 it takes me forever. If I sit down and say, oh, I can figure this out, it's easy, I get the word right away. I get the word right away. It's that easy. It's that simple. Your mind. You have to do it with your mind. This teaching is all about the mind and learning to control the mind. People like to make metaphysics or science of mind or religious science a religion. It's all right to do that, but this is completely different from any other religion that's out there, because this teaching teaches you how to think, not what to think. And all other institutions and brand name religions teach you what to think, not how to think. And no church that I know of, a big statement, brand name church that I know of, tells people, guess what? You wonderful people are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If I'm wrong about that, please point one of them out to me. You go to any church and ask them that, and they'll say, are you out of your mind? You can't be that. And that's what this teaching does. It teaches you that you're wonderful individuals and that you can be fulfilled on this plane of action and that you don't have to suffer. If you're suffering, it's because of your thinking. As soon as you change your thinking, the suffering stops. That's the whole idea of don't judge by appearances. You see, don't judge by appearances. We can change any appearance that happens, you see. Any appearance that's out there, you can change. Because you do not see with your eyes, you see with your mind. And when you realize that you see with your mind, and that this is a mental world that we live in, you'll solve even more of your problems. It's a mental world, remember? Emmett Fox, the mental equivalent. If you had to teach a child anything, teach them that they live in a mental world, not a material world. And it would change. The whole world would change if they knew that. But people think we're here in a material world. And we're not. It's a mental world. Solves all your problems once you realize, huh, it's my mind that's causing this. It's my mind that's causing this. And I have the choice to change that. And then you change it. Tonight's topic is respect. Oh, we'll make it. We started a little late. I won't hold you too long. The whole idea of respect. You have to have respect for yourself. And then it goes out to having respect for everything around you and for every other individual. But you have to respect yourself. That means you have to respect yourself enough to think the right thought. You have to respect yourself enough to eat the proper foods. You have to respect yourself enough not to overindulge in different things. It all boils down to, do I respect myself enough not to do that? Meaning, respect myself. Do I see myself as a wonderful individual? Do I see myself as an example for other people? Do I see myself as an emissary of light and love? And when you do that, then you have to respect that. You have to respect yourself. And you respect yourself by learning to love yourself. That's a form of respect. Love always goes out the window when you lose respect for the other person. You think, oh, I'll just keep loving him. You cannot love somebody without first respecting them. And you see many people, the relationship ends because they think the love went out. No, the respect left first. You stopped respecting the person and the love died. So, you have to learn to respect yourself, you see. If you don't respect yourself, how can you learn to love yourself? You can't. You can't do it. So sit in the morning or in the afternoon or any time and tell yourself how wonderful you are and learn to respect yourself for that. And respect yourself for all the things that you can do. All day long, you do wonderful things. And respect yourself for being able to do that, for being able to help somebody. And you will see a difference. It makes all the difference in the world. But you cannot have love without respect. It's an impossibility. And people want to do that. Because they're looking at the appearance and they're seeing, oh, that's a beauty, that, this, that, the other thing, you see. So many people are cosmetically beautiful, but cosmically they're a mess. You see. So you have to go for the respect. Do I have respect for that person? And do I have respect for myself? So learn to have respect for yourself. And in a relationship with yourself and with other people, it's always going to boil down to respect. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.